we're going to ignore our friends on Facebook.
Oh, no. There we go. It's on Facebook now. We are on Facebook now. That's great. Welcome to the Saturday service. I'm Rabbi Brian, and I'm here with, and can all my friends do some loud, large, make some big motions so the people in Facebook land can see you, because your box is only about that big. And can you try saying hello? Let's all say hello at the same time, just to...
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
That never works well, and it didn't work well this time. Has anyone else tried to do a singing happy birthday on Zoom?
Yes.
Or any other singing? It's not quite...
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Many times.
So I have brought today... Awesome. I have brought today... Alex, do you need the notes, or do you have them from the last time?
If you want to send them to me, that'd be great.
I'm sending them.
Otherwise, I could probably dig them up.
There we go. I just sent them to you.
Awesome. I thank you.
So welcome, everyone. I am in a... I had a quote that I wanted us to start with. Here it is.
Do you have a different quote than the last one?
Oh, yeah. The people you're going to... I didn't prepare the quotes well enough, so you're going to just have to deal with it.
No worries.
So here's the quote that I had for us to start with today, kind of as a prayer. It's a quote. Why is this screen? There it is. When a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. When a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure, said Viktor Frankl. I'm going to say it one more time. When people can't a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. All right. I see a few people nodding. Thank you for giving me some visual feedback. And Sean, lovely to see you again. Haven't seen you for a while. Carol Ann, Ruth, Denise, Amy, Linda, hi. Eileen, and Betsy, and anyone else who I didn't say hello to. And I was told by somebody who listens to these afterwards that it would be nice if I welcomed the people who listen afterwards. So thank you, person who's listening afterwards as well. So here's our quote to start us with. When a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. It might explain why people don't meditate so well, but give me your thoughts about this quote. When a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves. How many of you, by a show of hands, do you feel like you almost have something you want to say about this quote? All right. How many of you would like it if someone else started the conversation about this quote? Okay. How many of you by a show...
I'll start.
Who said that?
I'm confused.
Okay. Confused. Talk to me, Amy. Confused about... I'll tell you... go ahead, Amy.
How can you distract yourself with pleasure if you don't understand... Yeah, go ahead. Somebody help me.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll say something.
Go for it, Michael.
Meaning. I think the key here is the word meaningful. It's a very interesting word.
What do you make? So if a person can't find a deep sense of meaning.
Speaks to you. Something that speaks to you. Something that reflects you and mutually reflective.
Good boy.
Something that pushes you forward, something that pushes you deeper.
Yeah.
If that's not there, imminent, then why not get high? I don't know.
Right. Well, this is exactly my kids or adults say, I'm bored. Why are you bored? Because you don't have meaning. You don't have any reason to be doing anything.
Well, that's why I say, how can you distract yourself with pleasure? If you don't have a meaning... then you're sort of stuck in the, I can't think of anything to do that might be pleasurable. So for me, most people who can't find meaning, they tune out from the world.
Right, and they
and
do.
And they go to sleep. You know?
Right. Carol, go ahead.
I think they simply go to sleep. I think that's what our whole consumer society is about. If I have a big empty hole inside me, I try to fill it. I buy one thing or another thing, and after I bought it, it doesn't do anything for me, because what I'm looking for is something that's more real and doesn't require me to be a big consumer. My life becomes much simpler. So I think the search for meaning is, in fact, revolutionary, because our whole society is based on consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
If we really
good
have
boy.
Meaning,
good
we
boy, Jameson.
Big consumers.
Thank you, Carol. And Alex, would you mind muting? We have a few people who don't realize.
Already done.
Thank you. As usual, let me just say, and Carol, I want to come back to what you said, but I forgot to say, please leave your microphones open. If you have a pet or a child and you're not used to, and you're so accustomed to those noises, please pay special attention this morning because you might not be hearing it, but we are hearing it. So, Carol, you were saying, and I remember reading this from Eric Frome, he said, this is that our society, if it were honest, would say that heaven is nothing larger than a giant department store with ever new things, with a resource to always buy things to keep up with our neighbors.
No.
Okay, go ahead. Who said the no? I like a little... Barb?
Brian.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I didn't say the no, but another thing that Viktor Frankl said that has always stuck with me is, if we find a reason to live, we find a way to live.
Yeah.
And that was from when he was in the concentration camps. And so I think it's interesting to think about, if I don't have meaning, then I do pleasure, which kind of, in a way, it minimizes the act of pleasure into something almost wrong, and it's not wrong.
Mm, thank you. I like that idea, Barb. Right, so pleasure isn't inherently bad. It doesn't mean that none of you today should have any pleasure, because if you have pleasure, you're not having any meaning. They're not like that.
But pleasure can also be a way to avoid the deeper questions that we ask ourselves that are hard to answer.
And let me ask a question. If we were talking about our stages of faith, our qualities of a spiritual life, what are we talking about here with this quote about a search for meaning? I don't know if
Can you say that differently?
Yeah, I'm going to try saying that again. So I was looking to say, how do we combine this quote with our... Let me do it this way. I'm going to put the quote away for a moment.
Hannah's got her hand up and she's bouncing up and down like ooh ooh ooh.
Okay, go ahead, Hannah. Thank you, and appreciate it. Let me take a moment. There's so much to say at the beginning of anything. To thank Alex, who always runs the tech, to thank Joe, who moderates the chat and makes sure everyone's being friendly, and to thank Lee, who's keeping note. Is Lee on? Well, we're going to thank Lee, who usually keeps track of what we're talking about at different times. And let's go directly live to our friend Hannah, who's bouncing up and down, who has ideas to share with us.
My Hannah.
Is that, yes, that's your Hannah. Yeah, that's right.
We have my mom. Hi, Hannah. okay, well, I have about a gazillion things to say about this, but I will try to keep it short and to point. Okay. 5 steps back, I say that I feel like this quote is the pinnacle of the problem of the millennial generation, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because I feel like my particular age group really struggles with the fast pleasure, get it now. Can't sit still. If I'm sitting still, then if I'm sitting still and not having pleasure, then I'm not creating meaning. And always made me feel like an outlier, because I always wanted to ask people, what was the point of doing some of the things they did? But anyway, that's a longer story. So then I was going to answer your spiritual question.
Yeah.
The spiritual.
Go for it.
Spiritual.
Tie it together, Hannah.
Okay, so I think that this one, well, there's the five, but I think this one particularly is the questions are more important than the answers.
Yeah, so let's do a quick little review. So we have questions being more important than answers. And I want to, let's put all of them down on paper, and then we're going to compare them back to the meaning quote, and let's see where that fits in. So, Hannah, you already got an answer. Let's hear from some other people, and I know I keep coming back to this, but I want us all to know. So when someone says, oh, well, you know, spirituality, whatever that is, and you can say, no, no, actually there is a definition for here's what spirituality is, that questions are more important than answers. And we have some other qualities of a spiritual life. Someone else, yeah, Alma, tell us.
The, I can't remember the exact words. You are not as important as you think. Other people are just as important as you.
Right. It's not all about you. A spiritual life is not selfish. It's about giving. And then there's a bonus that we found in that one, which is that opposites can both be true.
Mm-hmm.
That you can have the opposite of something be equally true. I saw, Anne, you had something you wanted to add.
Yeah, it's also the hierarchy of values.
That a spiritual life is not devoid of values. A spiritual life, in fact, has a hierarchy of values. Morality comes from having a spiritual religious faith life. Good. I got anyone have room for others? Yeah, Ricky?
Transformation.
A religious spiritual life is about being transformed, not about transforming. It's not about changing the world. It's about... It's about changing, about allowing ourselves to be changed.
And that Ricky, there's something that is greater than me.
Yeah, there's a sense that a spiritual life has something much greater than us, that we're connected to everything, and that, okay, now that we have those on the screen, was there anything else we had for a spiritual life? I think that was our definition. So here's our quote. When a person can't find a deep sense of meaning, they distract themselves with pleasure. Help me out. Where does that fit in with our spiritual life, with our little map here?
Well, I would guess we get anxious, and so we look for something to distract ourselves.
But where is that on my map here?
I think it's the whole shooting match.
The whole shooting match. Gord, I have never said that phrase before or heard that phrase before.
Well, I think people don't want, we're not always comfortable considering, you know, the infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And the questions may be more important than answers, but the questions can be unsettling. And
so then we distract ourselves with pleasure. I like it. I like what you're doing here. Keep going, Gord.
Yeah, well, and I just see our whole society reaching for our phone to flip through some distraction.
Or right.
As Carol said, you know, retail therapy.
Yeah.
And the void never goes away.
Okay, so it's about...
You get a little rush for a moment, but then... You're right back at square one.
Yeah. So we're mainly on these two. Anyone else have... Thank you, Gord, for the whole shooting match.
Well, if the questions become a roadmap...
Wait, hold on. I got two people going at once. Let's go with Barb. Go ahead.
I'm more important than anyone else.
Ah, thank you, Rob. That this is playing into this idea that it is actually about me.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree.
Thank you. And Barb, what were you going to add in?
I think I might have lost it, but let me try. I had a senior moment.
That's okay.
So, that the questions are a path to a way to live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that or you don't know why you're doing it, you get kind of frantic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you distract yourself with pleasure.
Yes.
What do you guys think that I found in the hospital where I work is that there's so many people who don't know why they live, why they exist.
Yeah.
What's the difference between living and existing? And that's exactly what Barb is saying, you know. And it, sometimes it comes to answering, I don't know, but
yeah.
I'm going to find out. Let's. There's a phrase that you use in your YouTube channel, said, let's jump right in.
Let's jump right in.
We don't know, but let's jump right in. I mean, let's help together and let's...
Right.
You know, let's, you're ready, let's jump right in.
Let's jump in. Let's be transformed. Let's see what happens. It might not be pleasurable, the transformation. I used to ask people this, but how many people like to be... How many people... It's a comparison between how many of you like to be transformed... And how many of you like the act of transforming?
Transform is fine, the act, no way.
Right, and there's a great quote from Hemingway. Hemingway said, I don't like writing, I like having written.
Right.
Being done is almost always better.
Yeah, it is.
And I would say the Frankl quote also hits us up here with this hierarchy of values some. But I'm only one guy.
Yeah, sometimes it can be quite frightening.
It can be quite frightening. What Joy? Frightening to?
Well, I'm thinking of the move that I know has come from God this time because of the way everything has fit together. Uh-huh. But it's still quite frightening to actually work through it yourself.
Indeed. And I saw, Stephen, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I was thinking about dealing with addicts and stuff. And when it's all about me and I have no self-esteem, then I'm busy running for pleasure.
Right.
And it's and the meaning is found in all of those pieces that are outside of me into connecting to something bigger.
Right.
Infinite, the values, the others, in that sense that then allow meaning. Otherwise, I escape into my distraction, drugs, pleasure,
right.
Whatever it's going to be, that pulls me away from that. And so it's going beyond myself in all those directions.
And that's the reason why their addictions and alcoholism has really soared with this COVID thing. Those are actually, you speak about my patients, and one of the things that we were told was, listen, you know, I mean, not only the ones who are in full-blown addiction, but the ones who are also in recovery. I mean, they stop drinking, they stop using, but they don't know why they exist, why they're here. The difference between living and existing, you know, this is just, and they don't have an answer. So what it amounted to us was, you tell them what to do. And it's like, well, sometimes I don't know. But it's the idea that, hey, we're here to help each other, and that would be the first step.
That's the it's not about me, it's about other people, it's about connection. This is great. This is wonderful.
When I get in one of those states of being, of losing kind of a sense of meaning, and it'll happen just spontaneously someday, I'll go and I'll start binging on like Netflix, and I'm bored to death with everything I look at.
Right. Meaning is meaning helps. Gillian, go ahead.
It was reminding me of the Rat Park experiment of the 70s.
You're going to have to remind the rest of us about the Rat Park experiment of the 70s.
Okay, so they put rats in a cage and gave them a bottle of water, I guess, and a bottle of heroin water. And they went for the heroin water over and over again. But what it failed to address was that they had nothing else meaningful to live for in their cage.
Uh-huh.
So once they gave them a rat park, and they gave them something pleasurable to live for and meaning other than just the heroin water, they chose not the heroin water.
Interesting.
So people need something more than just existence,
right,
in order to not fall into the addiction, I guess. But that also reminds me of transformation.
So let me ask a different question then. Why do people eschew meaning? Why are people not... If we're saying that meaning is what life is all about, meaning is what, and this is a, I mean, look at the bias of the people who we have here in the group. This are all people who are searching for meaning, otherwise you wouldn't be showing up to this thing. But why do they, or why do we on not so good days, try to stay away from meaning? What is it that's so scary about this search for meaning? Why is it that we don't want to look at meaning and we would rather distract ourselves with pleasure? What's so wrong? What's the rub? Wait a second. Hold on 1 second. Larry, do you have something to say?
Several people have talked about. No, at the moment, let me just listen.
Okay. So those of you who don't know, my BFF Larry, technically he's on the phone here. We couldn't get the video up, so.
Because a Republican Senate majority could be the last line of defense, preserving all that we've done to defend this nation, revive our economy, and preserve the God-given liberties we hold
Okay. Well, I think one of the reasons we distract ourselves with pleasure is politics is not pleasurable. It's quite a thing.
Sure.
So talk to me. Why is it that we're so scared of meaning? Carol.
Because the process challenges.
Wait, hold on, Carol, Alex said something. Go ahead,
sorry.
And then we'll go to... Okay, back to Carol.
I think the search for meaning is totally countercultural. That we are taught to work in a community that the state recognizes as non-threatening.
Mm.
But if we suddenly stop buying, if we suddenly stop doing the things that they have set up for us to be, I mean, let's face it, they are risking lives in order to keep the economy going. They're saying it's more important that people go to restaurants when restaurants will kill you. They say it's more important that people go to bars when it's just what's going to give you the virus. What we're saying is when you know that there is a larger meaning that you can relate to, that you are never alone completely, you will decide, yes, I may have to be socially isolated, but I'm not depressed. I have a whole other way of living, and guess what? I'm saving money.
I think you're absolutely right. It's incredible the social pressure to do what everyone else is doing.
One of the keys here is responsibility. People don't want to take responsibility. And when you're responsible, they say, like, I'm responsible to the whole. I'm responsible to other people. I'm responsible to the human race. I'm responsible, you know, and people are afraid of that.
I want to take just a few more comments on this and bring in a topic that was brought up last week, which was enoughness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Carol was hitting on that a lot, that if you don't have a sense of enough, then you're going to distract yourself with pleasure. If you can't find it inside, but
feeling safe.
Which relates to feeling safe. Thank you, Barb. And we have our friend Bob. Bob, what do you got, my buddy?
I think that what it is that we have been brought up to think that thinking of ourselves is selfish, and that we turn around and feel that we have no value.
That's
and
it.
That when we have to look for something that is outside of ourselves, then that's where the pleasure comes in, seeking that outside pleasure, rather than seeing the value that we have.
Yeah. So I think this seems like a good time for us just to, I'm not going to do a 5-minute meditation, but I think this is a good time for us to take a moment to reflect inwardly, to think about where we are. And I'm going to give us a quote and then break us into small groups. And Alex, I apologize to everyone. I don't have this quote typed up. I had it here. Oopsie, hold on. This is a great quote from Thomas Merton. And he said, hold on.
There we go.
To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender oneself to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. Let me say that again. To want to help everyone in everything is to succumb to violence. I think some of you, Joe, might want to hear that again. To commit to want to help everyone and everything is to succumb to violence. More than that, it is cooperation in violence. It destroys your own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of your own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes the work beautiful.
Think about that one.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns. Let's start there. Show of hands, how many of you have allowed yourselves in the last week to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns? Just about a few of you. Okay. To surrender oneself to too many demands, How many of us have surrendered to too many demands? I'm assuming the same number. To commit oneself to too many projects, same number of people. To want to help everyone in everything. How many closet codependents do we have? Great. Okay, that's all of us. We can all change a light bulb together. It is to succumb to violence. That's strong language. More than that, it's cooperation in violence. Why? Because it destroys your own inner capacity to peace. If I'm carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns and wanting to help everyone, it destroys my inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of my own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom, which makes the work beautiful. Now I'm not doing it for the right reasons anymore. There's something beautiful about a whole group having a little bit of silence together.
It's yummy.
It's yummy. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put you into breakout rooms, and you're going to get a choice, and we're going to take 5 minutes in the breakout room. You can either talk about this quote some, or talk about enoughness. Here are prompts for you. Either talk about succumbing to violence by trying to do too many things. Make 2-3 sentences to talk about yourself and your relationship to enoughness, which was last week's theme. And I think really related, because if you don't have a sense of enoughness, you're running all over the place and you're destroying your inner peace and you're not having, I lost that other thing, but you hopefully know what I was talking about or you'll forgive me. Or 3, just talk for 2-3 sentences about whatever's dear on your heart. And we're going to have groups of, hold on, create breakout rooms. We're going to have breakout rooms. And let's do this. Person whose name is alphabetically first in the group. So when you go to the group, if you're the top letter in the alphabet, and no changing your names now, if you're the top letter in the alphabet, you are officially in charge of moving the conversation along. If you are not the person for that, even though your name is Alice and you're at the beginning of the, you get to designate someone else. Here we go. We're going for a 5-minute breakout room. You're talking about enoughness. You're talking about getting carried away. Talking about pleasure, seeking pleasure. We all ready? Hold on, warp speed ahead. There you go.
Engaged.
Oh, hi, Shirley. Hi, Ginny. There we go. Larry, you don't get to go to a breakout room due to your technology.
Thank you, Brian.
Alex, you're still here? Rob, you're still here?
Yes.
Rob, do you not want to join a breakout room? Alex, while you're co-hosting, do you have the ability to do anything with the breakout rooms?
I when I'm co-hosting, I do not. I have the ability to join a room. The host, you know, the actual host does not.
I can't join a room.
Yeah, you can't join the room, so whoever is the host, co-host can join the room.
Okay.
But cannot raise their hands electronically. Okay. But I didn't feel particularly breakout roomy, so that's why.
All right, it's okay, and you would have been Alex with the first letter of the alphabet there anyway, so.
And I just wanted to remind you about Derek that we got the news.
Thank you, thank you. Let's come back to that, and I also wanted to do a check-in with everyone's heart, see where everyone is, if there's anything they needed to say or talk about.
I think Nikki raised something in the chat early on that we might want to share, you know, we might want to discuss. Is that she said she's having a hard time dealing with the thoughts of Hanukkah coming up and knowing that her mother can't be with family. And she can see her twice a week, each time for 40 minutes.
Mm.
And, you know, for, and they Skype, but
it's not the same.
it's hard for her to put her sadness aside, and maybe this is a topic for donuts or something.
I think it might be a topic for everyone. Is, you know, we're all coming into a holiday season, and this is a very different way of doing a holiday season, and that's a great topic for all of us to look at for a bit. Okay, I'm gonna look for my other quotes.
Well, California, I know, is now another state that's gone into lockdown. I mean, most of Southern California is now locked down. Central Valley,
yeah.
No travel at all, no commingling households. So, and at least for us in California right now, the stay-at-home order is going to be for 3 weeks. So
yeah.
That's going to last through Christmas.
What a thing. What a thing. So, hey, Larry.
A lot of people are going to have trouble with that.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing fine. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I still remember where you and I were when I was telling you my crazy harebrained ideas about building community outside of a church.
I know. I didn't think it would work.
I didn't want to say that, but I didn't know if you remembered that.
I do remember. I do. This is delightful. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Yeah, it's I've gotten to the point now with the people where I know their voices. A lot of the people are regulars. I know their voices. Oh, that reminds me. So, Alex, I got to make a few announcements. I got to make an announcement about Derek. We got to talk about Christmas. And we got to talk about donuts. And I got to talk about Etsy item of the week. We're going to keep the same Etsy item of the week this week because I can't change it now. And I'm always so curious about these breakout rooms, but people seem to really enjoy them.
Yeah, they loosen up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember, Brian, George Zimmel, a German social philosopher, once talked about excessive psychic stimulation. That's what Merton's talking about. That when we're so confronted by so many different needs and we try to respond to them, there is a sense of a blasé personality that develops because we can absorb all the stimuli around us, so we become blasé about it just to protect ourselves from being atomized.
With too much. So last time you said that phrase, I wrote it on my clipboard. It's right here. I have it on the screen. I don't know if you can see it. It says, excessive psychic simulation is a side effect of an urban life.
That's right. That's right.
But I didn't put that. It was George Zimmel. So I'm going to write that here.
S-I-M-M-E-L.
Great. Welcome back, Eileen and Gord. Rob, I don't think I need to welcome everyone else back. Don't tell them I welcomed you personally.
Did Shirley make it back?
Shirley is here. Oh, hi, Carol Ann Clausen Williams.
Yeah, hi there.
And Sean, you have no hair left, man.
Yeah, it was time to look employable again. So uh-huh.
Took it all down. Well, we got everyone else should be zooming right back in a moment. Rooms, here we go. Rooms are closing up.
Not enough time.
Oh, we're having a good one.
We said
you know,
trying to do too much.
You know that phrase, you're not going to please all the people all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, maybe.
Congratulations.
So while you guys were all in breakout rooms, Larry, because he's not able to be visual, he gave us a quote from a man named George Zimmel. Which is that excessive, it's not an exact quote, it's a paraphrase, excessive psychic stimulation is a side effect of urban life. That we all, excessive psychic stimulation, I just like that phrase, excessive psychic stimulation is a side effect of urban life.
So to protect ourselves.
Wait, hold on, everyone quiet for a second because Larry's got a little more here. Go ahead, Larry.
And as a response to all that excessive stimulation, we develop a blasé personality simply to protect our soul. And that creates a kind of distance, purposeful distance, that we create in order to survive. That's why the contemplative life is so important.
So there's a lot in what you just said, like, so we become blasé, right? That's a tip. I grew up in New York City. Typical New Yorker, a manhole cover flies out of the ground, and then typical New Yorker goes, heads. Right? It's like totally blasé, like, I've seen all this before, and that is a side effect of urban life. To protect ourselves from the excessive psychic stimulation, we become blasé. And then there was a second half to that, Larry.
Blasé.
You said a second part, and I couldn't get both parts, so I just reiterated the first.
That's in part what Merton is referring to, I think, is that we make so many commitments to so many people for so many reasons. It tears us apart. And in order to survive, we purposefully succumb to a contemplative life to restore the tattered pieces of our soul. And it just seems like he's making so much sense. And that's why the religious pursuit is a part of that search for wholeness. Holiness, wholeness that's been torn apart by living in a social world.
Right. It's what Carol was saying as well. This economy can drive you fucking nuts.
Yeah.
This world we live in is crazy out there, folks. Yes. I hope that's not news to any of you. But I think there's something important about hearing it again and knowing you're not crazy for thinking it. Because the world... Oh, I'm about to preach for a little bit, so hold on. The world will have you think you're crazy for not joining in with it. The world will make you think you're crazy because you want to sit and enjoy your glass of apple juice. Hey, I got an idea. Today, at some time, enjoy something horribly. Like, just enjoy the everything out of it as a revolution. You want to start a revolution? Here are two things we can do. One, stop. Which makes it hard to get to number two if you actually do number one. And number two, find joy not in all the shopping that we're all doing right now. And the wanting that we're doing right now. Okay, I got a timeout on that because I do want to get back to it. I have a few announcements.
Unless it's a great sale.
Unless it's a great sale, obviously. a few things. First of all, Derek, who is always, when I log in, you guys don't know this, Derek's red hair, he just had a surgery and he's well. When I log in to any service I run, Derek is always there before me. And I missed him this morning, but he just had his surgery and we got word back that he's doing just fine. So, yay, hooray.
Thank you.
Other announcements, let me just make. After this, in about 17 minutes, there's going to be a chance to do virtual donut holes. And that's where I leave, and we put Alex in charge of making groups, and Joe in charge, and you, I don't even know what happens at Virtual Donuts, but it's a chance for people to have community. And I will ask this, even though I won't be there, I'm going to control from the grave. If you are a regular, and someone's showing up who's not a regular, make sure to engage with them, because it's really a vulnerable, scary thing to show up to something where everyone knows each other and you feel like you're the outsider. So please do that. Other announcements. Alex, I had a whole list of announcements. Oh, here we are. Three ways you can support Religion Outside the Box and what I'm doing here and what we're doing here. One, tell your friends. Tell them to sign up for the newsletter. Invite them to join a service. And I know it's totally societally icky to tell someone to do anything religiously. Don't hold a, like, no threatening to kill them if they don't show up. We're not doing that. But just invite them. Say, hey, I'm doing something pretty cool. I'd love to see you there. So that's one way you can help. Second way you can help, go to the Etsy shop, buy some Religion Outside the Box merchandise. Very excited. The Hebrew classes are scheduled. You guys are the first to know that. I can't.
Shalom.
So if you have ever wanted to learn how to read Hebrew, this is it. We have a class. It's 7 weeks long. You will learn how to read within the first 4 weeks. And then the sessions 5, 6, and 7 are just practicing how to read. Not that you'll understand what you're reading, but you'll be able to read. And it's not kid stuff. We're not doing Abba Baba Bait. We're doing Mishnah, and we're doing some real studies.
Baruch atah Adonai.
Right, so you can say it. Wonderful, Rob. If you want to learn how to read those words or write those words, that's a little harder. But we're teaching how to read. Good, Rob. Third way you can support... Wait, hold on. I'm on a roll here, and I'm going to just keep talking. Third way you can support is make a donation to Religion Outside the Box. That's really helpful, especially monthly donations.
Do you have a link for the Hebrew class, Rabbi?
So the gift certificate's up there. Yeah, I do, but here's the embarrassing thing, is I was talking so much that I can't find the chat anymore. Oh, there it is. No, I can't. There it is. Okay, so if you want to do the... lu.ma/ oh, here, do it from this. Do rotb.org/Hebrew. That should, no, not what I wrote. Alex, can you fix that? And that will give you a link to the two different classes. One's on Sundays, one's on Tuesdays, and we're so excited about this class. Thank you, Alex. Do the one Alex did. Other announcements? I think that's it. Oh, Monday! 5-minute meditation at 2 p.m. Pacific. If you've never done it and you would like, I'm giving you $5 just for coming and trying it. You don't even have to meditate for the 5 minutes. But if you come on Monday, we do 5-minute meditations. If you sit through the instruction, which is about a minute, I'll send you $5 if you want. I'm really trying to get people to do what I'm talking about here, which is stopping. And it's really hella uncomfortable to sit quietly. And I think that's why people don't do it, because there's that chatter. And people think, I'll never get that chatter to stop. And you're not going to get the chatter to stop, but you get to have more peace with the chatter. And that's the goal. That's what we're going for. Anything else on my announcement sheet? No. Any announcements any of you have? Did you just release a new album and you want everyone to download it? What do you got? You have a mattress to sell? I don't think that would be the right forum here. So let's go from announcements to, are there things on your heart that you would like to share with the group? We had some people share last week and the week before of things. Are there things that are on your heart that, for whatever cosmic reason, it feels to you like sharing with a group of people would help?
I think what Nikki posted in the chat earlier.
Oh, right. Thank
really
you.
Relevant.
Go. So hold on to that one, Alex, and we'll come back to that. And I want to see if anyone's got other heart things. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, Candace.
Two things. One is that with more restrictions and shutdowns here, which everybody's going through, I just find myself feeling more sluggish. I'm not getting out for my walks as much and not taking care of myself. And something on the bright side is I basically applied. There's a fellow that lives in my town. He's been on dialysis for 12 years or something. And apparently I'm a match to give him a kidney as a living donor. I just have one little more blood test to go through. And
wow.
I don't know why. I can do this. I'm doing it.
That is amazing.
Candace, that is meaning. That exactly. That's meaning, and that's so beautiful.
That is awesome.
That's
good on you.
Amazing.
Just quickly, when the woman who was going over my questionnaire on the phone said, you know, oh yeah, you're O positive, you're a universal donor. I said, well, please remember, I only have 2 kidneys.
that's
here, folks.
That's wonderful, Candace.
And I wanted to share with you a good friend of mine that I've known for 50 years was on dialysis for like a 2 or 3 years. I mean, he was having to do it at home by himself every day for all those years. And he finally, just before COVID hit, he finally was able to have a kidney donated. And he is just so grateful every day for the person who made that possible. And so thank you so much on behalf of my friend Denny.
Excellent. And let's say, and go ahead, Joy, and then Shirley.
The nearer I get to the move, the more I'm thinking about how I'm going to feel after I get there. Getting to know people round about is going to be quite difficult compared with here in the village.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of the congregation are in Lerwick and they will support me, but it's when you're sitting alone in the house, I think it's going to be difficult to begin with.
Yeah. We'll hold you in our hearts, and we'll be here every Saturday.
Thank you.
Yeah, Shirley, thank you for sharing, Joy.
I was just gonna, you know, what Joy just said was right on the money, because I am, you know, living alone now, and I have, and I'm great. I'm great because I have all of you. It's made such a difference in my personal life. It keeps me connected. I know who to pray for.
Mm.
I know who needs caring. I mean, I always have a list, and it's a wonderful thing to have. It feels as if you're right here. You're in my living room. You're with me. And so this is my...
Thank you, Shirley. So that, again, this is about, I mean, this brings us right back here. This is about meaning. This is all about meaning. That's what we're talking about here, is finding meaning in our lives.
Make sure you're on the list, Shirley.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Virginia, and then we've got a long topic, but we only have a little bit of time for. We'll see how that goes.
I'll make it quick. My brother was diagnosed with COVID-19 this week.
Oh.
And he's in a facility. It's gone from 5 cases to 25 to 44. Six staff are out. So far, I talked to him yesterday. He is feeling better, but he does have a lot of underlying conditions like COPD and stuff. Mm. So right now it has not gone into respiratory for him. So that's a blessing. No fever. He's starting to feel better, but he's really... scared.
Yeah.
Really scared.
So I don't know how prayer works very well, but can we all hold Ginny's brother in our prayers? And
thank you.
Are there other people by name that we want, or we give us his name, Virginia?
Alan.
Keep your brother Alan in our prayers. And other people have people we need to pray for, or other thoughts that we would... We'll just keep all of us in prayer.
Aviva says that her brother is in the ICU. He had a fall down some stairs. Two other siblings have passed away in the last 3 months.
Oh, my. Aviva, we'll hold your brother and you in our prayers.
Yes.
Myron, thank you. So here's not a lot of time for this, but something we can think about even more next week. Holidays are coming up. Hanukkah's never been one of my favorites. Christmas is coming. But either which way, we all are going to have to do some we're going to have to do some adapting. Because what you did last year, without thinking about it, or you kind of knew what to do because you've been doing it for years, it's not going to be like that this year. And Nikki, you had some thoughts about that that were in the chat. Do you have things you want to say?
Well, I think that the hard part is not for myself. The hard part is my worry about my mother. She's fine, thankfully. They've had 2 scares with COVID. None of the patients, none of the residents got it. It was just in the staff. But as everyone, that's always a concern. My concern is for my mother's well-being, in that while she's not alone, she is alone.
Yeah.
Right? She has people there. The majority of people don't have, you know, a lot of them have dementia. There are people that are great, but she can't be with family.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the part where I am lucky in that I am allowed, living alone, I'm allowed to have my daughter as part of my household. So for that, that makes all the difference in the world. But I worry about my mother. Even though we Skype, I see her twice a week outside, you know.
It's going to be really hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So here, I'm going to ask us to do something. Grab a piece of paper. And while Nikki was talking, I'm sure many of us had a thought of, oh, that kind of remind that, oh, this person or that write down the name of whoever it is who you think could use it. Maybe it's going to be a hard Christmas for them. Write down a few names of people for whom it's going to be a hard Christmas. And you know what to do. You know what to do. Push yourself a little bit. It might be a little bit awkward to reach out to them. But just say, I was thinking about you, and Christmas is coming, and I wanted you to know that I'm thinking about you. That's all people need, is to know that they belong, that they matter. Not all that they need, but it gives them, their life, a sense of meaning. Mm-hmm. And it will bless you, too. Take another. Everyone have some people written down? At least a person written down? Can you commit to doing that by next Saturday? Yeah? Okay, fantastic. Other thoughts about the upcoming holiday and how we can help, or how you as an individual can help, and we can all share? So, go ahead, Shirley.
Well, I thank you. I'm sorry. I always talk. I keep thinking, you know, that I find myself thinking what I can't do sometimes. And then immediately I've been training myself to go, what can I do?
Mm.
So, like what you just said is so perfect, is I put together a little tree, and then I, you know, reach out and call people and be willing to... you know, cross boundaries. And I mean, in the sense of, I have a friend that I've been at odds with, reach out and just put,
fix make that up.
Like you said one time, about try three times.
Yeah.
And
reach out, guys. Y'all know that. Let's all connect in a real human way. I want to ask before we end, and y'all go to Virtual Donuts, and I go with my family on an errand. What? Is there something that totally lit your fire that you're taking from today that you're like, oh my, that was worth the price of admission? What do you?
Everything, Rabbi?
Yeah, no, I want a sentence. I want something and the reason I do this at the end is I want you to remember it, and I want you to remind other people about it. It also helps me, incidentally, to know what I've taught. Go ahead, Joy.
It's being with everybody that's here, getting to know everybody, and then being part of a community.
How important that is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Doesn't matter what we do, as long as we do it together. Mm. What'd you, Linda, hi, I hadn't said hi to you yet. Good to see you. Somebody, what'd you take today? What'd you get out of today? Al, what do you have, buddy?
Yeah, the whole notion that trying to do everything for everyone is inviting violence, that just was really going to sit with me.
Yeah. Thank you, Al. I think that's a brilliant idea. I like this idea of excessive psychic stimulation. Like, just knowing that we're all on this excessive psychic stimulation, and we got to do something about it.
And with the internet
and
everything else.
The internet and the blasé, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know? Thank you for saying that, Hannah, and I apologize, Al, I just talked over you, but the thing that Larry added to it, that all of the freneticism is calling us to be blasé, is pushing us towards checking out. And that's not what we're here to do. Okay.
Mention Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, if anyone would like, on Tuesdays... we do this a little bit differently, and please show up. It's this exact same link on Zoom at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Convert that to wherever you happen to live. Okay, I'm going to say one thing before we end. I think this is the key to all of it. Be loving. Amen.
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 Thank you all for showing up. And I'm going to mute myself. Everyone say goodbye to each other.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Bye, Rabbi.
Bye.
Oh, what a great faith.
All right, Larry, you got to see that or hear it.
That was delightful. So many thoughtful
45 people plus those who were watching on the internet.
Oh my goodness, that's so wonderful.
There they are.